Here we are, 866-391-1020. 866-391-1020 is that number. Let me welcome in, for my money, the finest political reporter working in the country right now. She's right here in Western Pennsylvania. Selena Zito joins. Hi, Selena.
Hey, Colin. How are you?
Not marvelous. Now, this is what I want to get to right away. This is foreign to a lot of reporters, particularly, we don't want to date and age ourselves, but maybe under 30 years old. The old Shoe Leather Express was rolling today. You went all over the place, right? Butler County, you were in Westmoreland County, you were in Butler County, you were in Armstrong County, I think, at some point, maybe even Allegheny County. What did you do? You just traipsed to a bunch of different polling locations?
Yeah, I just went to different precincts to see sort of what turnout was. Not just looking at, well, sometimes there were parking lots were so full that there were cars out on the road, like going in. I saw that at several Westmoreland County precincts. But then just going up and just asking what the, you know, how many people had, you know, like what number are you at? Right when they were coming out. And it was a, you know, each one of these precincts were having a much better than average off-year election total. And I'm not saying it's astronomical. However, I was really surprised to see that there was enthusiasm in a year that people tend not to be enthused. Now, conversely, I went into the city and there were just a couple places that I stopped, and I did not see that same sort of, you know, enthusiasm at those precincts, and nor those same numbers, meaning numbers that exceed the norm. Now, I don't know what that means. What's basically on the ballot right now statewide is the Supreme Court races, where we are not voting for a person, but we're voting whether to give someone another 10 years on the job. That's never, outside of one time, that's never, it's never been sort of something that people do. People look at the ballot and go, ah, you did okay. Now, that's not how people felt in 2005. That was the year of the pay raises that happened in the middle of the night. There were no elections following that big scandal, with the exception of retaining Supreme Court justices. And one of them lost. And let me tell you, Colin, I don't know if you remember that or not, but it was across the board. Everyone was angry with Hirschberg, right? It was Democrats, Republicans, and Independents.
Well, yeah, and this is something I want to get to with these three. You know, is there a way you could see them fracturing from each other, i.e. maybe Wecht making it and the other two not? Perhaps, you know, a 2-1 or a 1-2 split? Or are these all in one basket together?
No, I think if it happens, if one goes down, it may only be one that goes down. In the last time that this happened, there were two up for retention and only one went down. Right now, there are three up for retention, and I could see a scenario with one, possibly two, you know, holding their, I mean, losing the retention vote. It's a very odd thing to vote for, because we usually vote for contrast, right? We vote for different people. Now we're just voting no. However, I will tell you, past experience has showed me that no is easier to vote for than yes. If anyone is around, you remember the yes vote for the stadiums in 2000, no overwhelmingly vote. People, you know, so no is easier psychologically to vote for than yes.
Answer me this, and I want to keep you around for just a little bit, even into the next segment, sure. But we have time this segment. I've said that at some point when we get on the other side of this election and Corey O'Connor gets elected tonight and all of that, it may be 6 months, it may be a year, he is going to hit a big crossroad, and it's going to be this.
Yeah.
He's going to have to satisfy the progressives that helped him beat Gainey, or he's going to have to satisfy the people that are high-dollar people that put some money up to get him elected. There's no way he's going to be able to serve both simultaneously, and he will reach a crossroad at some point where he has to fracture off from one of those two factions. Do you find that to be accurate?
Yeah, I think that Corey's challenge is, okay, how do I get back to development in the city? And who are the people that made development happen? Well, those were our business leaders. And those are the ones that have been sort of kicked out by the Ghani administration, right? Mm-hmm. And you talk to the building and trains, like nothing happened in the city, right? Nobody was building anything. And when there's nobody building anything, then the people with money are just standing back. And so he needs to court them back. Whether you liked our last few mayors or not, if you look at Murphy, if you look at Ravenstahl, and even if you look at Peduto up to a certain point, they engaged with the business community and drew businesses in. Now, Peduto became more ideological towards the end. And we have traditionally had mayors that weren't really ideologues, but were more about keeping the trains running on time and keeping the city safe and business development. You know, Luke Ravenstahl got a lot of, you know, sort of crap because I think largely because of his youth, in particular from my profession. But Ravenstahl did a very robust job of bringing new businesses into this into the city, and I think he doesn't get the credit that he should get.
And we'll get to a break in about a minute, so you got about a minute to answer this one. We talk about union labor and we talk about organized labor and the building trades and things. Has, through the last administration, has the SEIU separated itself from every other union and people don't want to be aligned with them, maybe?
Yes. That's like not hard to answer.
Right.
Well, there's two different kinds of unions. There's the unions where that basically, if you're thinking of imagery, think of like sweat, muscle, right?
Iron workers, local number three.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there are social justice unions, which are largely about political influence and less about the workers. The SEIU has not historically been very good for their workers. They've been great for politics, not so much with getting benefits and for their workers.
Perfect. Can you hang on for just a moment? I want to come back and ask a bunch of things. Selena Zito, the best political reporter in this country, I think. We have her both locally and some national questions coming up. All right, back to it with our great friend Selena Zito, who joins for another segment for just a little while longer. Selena, the turnout, I struggle with the turnout for these midterm elections because, you know, it's simple to me in a way in that these decide who plows your street. It decides how much your school taxes are going to be. It decides who decides your kids or your grandkids' curriculum and what's being taught at school. And I don't understand why more people don't grasp that.
I completely understand, and I'm with you on that. These are the most important people that have the most granular impact on your daily lives, your taxes, the students, the quality of life, and what your community ultimately looks like in terms of prosperity. So why you don't show up for them makes no sense to me. And the amount of people I am really interested to see show up for this mayor's race, because I suspect it's going to be, I'm going to go out on a limb here, it might be lower than 18% of the city's population. Now think about that. 18% of the people are the people that are going to put, I mean, that might be the high number, right? Mm-hmm. Are going to put who is going to be running the city of Pittsburgh. Who's going to be there when we have the NFL draft, right? Like who's going to, when we have the big things, but also the little things, the perception of the city, the sidewalks, the safety, the relationship with our police force, the relationship with our firefighters, right? All of these things have gone completely south in the last 1.5 terms of our mayors. So we look at this and say, why isn't this that important to you? You complain, you know, people complain about the city all the time. If you live in the city and you're not invested in it, you know, why stop complaining.
Let's say that O'Connor gets in. He's going to. And let's say that some of the rumblings are true and he's able to lure Danny Gilman away from Duquesne. A young man I've known since he graduated with my brother, by the way, Danny did. And I've known him since he's, 12 years old. I find him to be incredibly organized and someone who is unflappable when things are going crazy. Now, not everybody likes him. I get that. But would he be a good lieutenant this time around?
As long as if he sticks to what he's good at, which is ruthless management, right? And I don't mean ruthless in a mean way. I mean in terms of efficiency. And he stays away of getting into the Twitter battles, right, and getting into those fights. I think he stands a much better chance. And look, everybody learns from their mistakes, right? And so I think that could, he could be good. But he has to sort of stay away from the things that got him that turned around with a lot of people in the city.
Is Corey O'Connor able to surround himself with a bad cop in administration to be sort of his muscle?
I've always said that you have to have a no man in your office, right? Or no woman, whatever. Someone that says, that is a terrible idea, right? And someone that has the spine to do that. There are good those are the people that have good leadership skills and good leadership instincts. Whether you liked Ed Rendell or not, he's always really good at having a bad guy in the office, right? A guy to say, don't do that. That's a dumb idea, right? And there's not enough people to do that. Sophie Maslow was very good at surrounding herself with good people. But, you have to give up some of your ego when you do that. And if you are willing to
Selena dropped off. We'll try to... Her connection was in and out, so we'll try to fetch her up again real quick. But I do agree with her. The balance of an election, in so much as for a mayor, is not just sort of electing the person at the top. You're electing their whole administration. And to be able to do that and pick out the right people is paramount, especially in a situation like this. We have Selena back. Selena, you were saying you need that good cop and bad cop, and I was thinking, Corey O'Connor would do well to hire me because I'm not afraid to tell anybody that's a dumb idea if I think it's a dumb idea. But the importance of that, I think, is paramount, which leads us to the next, and we're jumping around here, but we just have a couple more minutes. Did Dick Cheney really change the vice presidency the way people are saying today as someone who was close to covering all of that at the time?
Previously. I would also say that Dick Cheney made it different only for him, though. I didn't see that same sort of relationship with Biden and Obama, but I do sort of see that relationship between J.D. Vance and Trump. So I think yes, he changed it, but I don't know how permanent that is. It all depends on why a president picks who they pick.
Awesome. I appreciate the time today. Thank you so very much. We'll talk again soon, and I know you'll be glued to all the results tonight, and we'll catch up in short order.
Okay, that sounds great. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Great stuff from Selena Zito. I think she hit the nail on the head, too, about Corey O'Connor. First of all, it's going to be interesting to see who he puts around him. And second of all, it's no secret. It's the worst-kept secret. The developers are now – they are itching to get back into Pittsburgh or take their shot, especially people in that AI world, especially people in that sort of high-end development world, kind of using Carnegie Mellon as a dovetail to a lot of their talent, and as actually a springboard, I should say, to a lot of their talent, and to see if they can expedite building, putting cranes in the air, getting things done in and around the city is going to be real interesting if he can satisfy them. 866-391-1020. I'm going to tell you something that, and I don't want to sound like an old crotchety guy, I do that too much, something that I liked better the old way, and something that probably should have just stayed the old way. We'll get into that in just a little bit. But first news, bottom of the hour, KDK. Yes. Anyhow, 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. All right, so if you're looking at the video right now, our awesome video stream we tell you about all the time, KDKRadio.com, click on Watch KDK Radio's live stream, or YouTube, which I enjoy. I find that I'm partial to the YouTube stream. Just go to KDK Radio on the YouTube search page, right there, search bar, and then hit subscribe, and then it'll find you every day. You don't have to then search as much, right? You get a text. I get a text every day. Would you like to go to KDK's live stream? And I'll hit yeah. And it's like right at 6 o'clock or so. Well, after I get home at 6 in the morning or so. And so I'll pull it up on the TV. But anyway, if you're doing that, you could see me wearing my I voted in that sticker. Okay. I wear it with pride because of what it stands for. I voted. And I'm proud of the fact that I voted. Took our kids today. They saw the process. It's pretty neat. I wanted them to see that. My daughter actually wore a sticker to school, even though she didn't vote. The judge of elections, or whoever it was there, gave her a sticker. So, yeah, you can have one. She wore it to school. Here's my problem, and this is nitpicky, I will admit. But follow me here, especially old-timey Pittsburghers at 866-391-1020. Can I talk about how everything doesn't need to be a colloquialism? And voting's kind of a serious thing. And it was A-okay with just the rest of the country having the I voted stickers that are red, white, and blue with a check mark. And maybe, just maybe, that in that is a sign of regional, uneducated way of speaking. I got the worst Pittsburgh accent there is. I never say in that. Ever. Ever. We try too hard. Like Sarah Inamorato, when she put these in, and it was this was the one that like won a contest or something, is my understanding. Not everything needs to be yins in that. Everyone, like, okay, case in point. Pittsburgh dad. Joke's old. One trick pony, joke's old, done, not funny. There's only so much you could take with yins and anat and all that kind of stuff. But there's also a serious quotient to voting. So, I don't know, maybe it'll get younger people to vote. Hey, look at my sticker, it says anat. But I think they even like laugh at it, in a sense. There's one bastion of let's do things very official, I think. Kind of left in the world. Okay? And for me, it's when you go in to vote. I'm not saying you shouldn't talk. I'm not saying you need to keep all your eyes to yourself. I'm not saying you shouldn't smile or whatever. And I'm not trying to be a grump. I'm not at all. But that's one place I say, I'm going to keep it moving. I'm going to make sure I don't screw this up. And I got one shot at the democratic process and to make sure my voice is heard. I don't need an at and yins it and some sort of like thinking about the steel curtain. No, I'm here to vote. It's serious. And for them to, and it seems like a little, and it's a little thing to so many people. And it's in my life, it's little. But it's one of these things we're trying too hard. We have a county executive who raised taxes through the roof, who can't get anything done of merit, who never appears in any sort of media thing unless it's self-serving, has not one time answered a hard question. Yet she made sure to have an unveiling with Bethany Hallam for a new sticker that says, I voted in at. Because we got to put a colloquialism on everything. Which makes us sound stupid. It does. It makes people, if you use that term, it makes you sound uneducated. And I'm looking at this sticker today going, I'm not embarrassed to wear it. because I voted. And that, I guess. But it should just be red, white, and blue. It doesn't need to be black and gold. We don't need to have an Annette on it. And nobody really says Annette anymore. It's died out for the most part. It's hard-pressed to find somebody who not jokingly says Annette. I could have an hour conversation on this. I mean it. If you go around town, even to the deepest sort of the height of Yinzerdom, it's hard-pressed to find somebody who in a serious conversation uses the term Annette. We keep it moving as a joke, but it's truly not all that applicable to true conversations anymore. If you listen to a real conversation, you can't extract it from people using it because they don't say it. So these stickers are dumb. It's just my thought. The stickers are, they should have kept the ones that everybody else in the country has, and you don't meddle with tradition in some things. And one of them is the I voted stickers, right? It is like, I don't know, the Yankees or Notre Dame. You just leave it as it is. Now I get it. They've changed Notre Dame's uniforms. They have messed with the field some. Hell, they tore down Yankee Stadium. They've tinkered with their uniforms, put branding right on them. So I understand all that. But with the voted sticker, just give me the I voted sticker. I wish I could have had the option. How about I'll leave it there? Where are all the old ones? Do they have the old red, white, and blue ones that just say I voted? Because I would have opted for that. Jason's on the south side. Hi, Jason.
I will say that if you go into the construction field, you'll find a whole lot more guys that have a heavy Yinzer accent.
Okay.
I work with an old carpenter, and I can't go 20 minutes without hearing Yinzer and at. It's starting to bleed over into my voice, and I'm not even originally from here.
Yeah, but I think we do it too much.
Maybe. I think the sticker is a little bit of harmless fun.
I think the sticker's stupid, considering it costs money to print. Do you think that Uncle Sam didn't pay for that, or you and I didn't pay for it?
I mean, we would have paid for the sticker regardless.
Not actually, we wouldn't have, because they didn't get rid of all the old stickers. They weren't on zero.
I don't know. I think there's more important things to worry about.
There
honestly.
Certainly are, and that's my whole point. That the one of the very few times we saw the county executive on social media and doing anything was her unveiling this stupid sticker. Then the other time we saw her was telling us our taxes are going up. It's that kind of stuff that's emblematic of why she's not cut out for the job. This stupid stuff is important to her, and the important stuff is stupid to her. That's my point, I think. And that's where I am with it. It's not that big of a deal, but they're so unserious that you can't take them serious. That's my point. Coming up next is one place, we're going to get away from election talk, is one place doing the right thing, and you look at it and you go, that's somewhere I'd go. Or is it doing the wrong thing, and you'd say, I would never patronize that business. All right, so much to get into in the 4 o'clock hour, including maybe, I don't know if it's the worst, but certainly a top five worst way to die. I mean, I read this story early this morning. I was at home. I had gone to vote. Then I picked up my prescription for this double ear infection I got going on. And then I made it back home and had some more coffee and stuff. I was reading this story, and I went, this got to be top five worst ways to die. Just is. Tell you all about that in the 4 o'clock hour. And Tom Brady. Tom Brady pulled something off that many people thought only God could. I'm serious. We'll get into that a little bit. So how about this? I read this story, and I had it earmarked from last week. And it's a place in Ohio. Reynoldsburg, Ohio. Not exceedingly far from here. So it goes like this. It was an AP story. Want to get out and sip on some tasty craft beer? Leave your kids at home. Eastside Brewing, Reynoldsburg, Ohio, has a new rule that resulted in some backlash. And it's effective after 7 p.m. The reason? unsupervised children running amok. The owner stated in a Facebook page, or post, excuse me, "We never intended for our outdoor space to be a playground for kids." He further lamented, "Our patio swing had to be taken down as it was confused with an amusement park ride. The ping pong table is broken and we rarely put cornhole out as the bags end up on the roof." Some readers on Facebook supported the change. The post had a bunch of comments. "Take your child to a park to run their energy out before coming to a brewery," wrote one reader. "I hope you don't feel bad for any of this. Thanks for being a reliable establishment. I can enjoy food and drink." But not everyone was happy. Here we go. Ready for this one? "Horrendous new policy of no kids. We've always loved this place because we can walk, and it was always kid-friendly. And it's better than being outside in the yard. The owner held firm, though, even as he reported receiving threats from some customers. He braced for the negative feedback. Of those criticizing him, he wrote this: many of these parents are the ones who sit inside the tap room drinking beer while letting their kid go outside to quote-unquote play. There are kickballs and frisbees to dodge. Some kids like to dig up rocks in the beer garden and create hazardous situations for our adult guests to trip over." Where do you come down on this? I love it. Like, when we were growing up, here's the thing. It's because this culture has gotten out of control. When we were growing up, kids weren't allowed in the bar. Like, any bar, really. And if you were, there was maybe a side room, and maybe they propped you up, and you played the cherry machine for a little bit and had a fountain Coke, and you were kind of snuck in the bar. And you knew to shut up, don't say a word, act like you're supposed to be there, even though you're not, and keep it moving. It wasn't this situation where it was this big sort of raucous party for you. So this is interesting to me. You have a proprietor of a, and dogs are the same way, although they're dog-friendly sort of these brew pubs, right? So let's say you were taking your kids to a place like this on the regular, and you thought they were well-behaved, and they very well may have been. And the owner comes out and puts on social media, because that's where you check all the time. You see if food trucks are coming. You see what bands may be there. You see what events they have, what their specials are. So you check their social media a bunch at this local brew pub that you like. And a lot of people like those. Microbreweries, brew pubs, all that. And you'd been going there with your family. And then all of a sudden one day, there's a message on there from the owner. "Hey, moving forward, leave your kids at home." Okay? Leave them at home. That's the way that it is. How would you feel? I just got a text from a bar owner right now who said, "I'd much rather have dogs in our establishment than kids. Kids screw it up. They run all over the place." So how about that? Wow. Jeez. My goodness. 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. I know a lot of people who listen to the show go to those microbreweries. They go to those brew pubs. They go to places, and when the weather breaks again, they'll sit outside. Do you try to steer clear of the ones where there are a bunch of kids? Or are you just like, hey, everybody's here to have fun? I want to talk about that and get back into some election stuff. We have a member of our staff reporting what his election day situation was like. I'll get to that at the top of the hour, but I do want to take your calls in just a little bit. News, top of the hour, KDK.